I don't pray for forgiveness nearly as often as I used to. Not because I think I'm perfect and I don't sin.
Starting to understand grace
right,
there.
Right. Like, I didn't know we did confession on the show. Or maybe that's all the show is confession.
If I don't have it right now, maybe I don't need it.
Yeah. We're all riding like crazy today. There are times in my life, today, tomorrow, that I will do it right, I will do it wrong. We all go through those cycles, and it's not just years at a time, months at a time, weeks at a time, it's hours at a time.
Yeah.
It's so that's funny to me how many times I leave this show and then go do something that I can't believe I did because I just left the show. How'd I do that?
Believe me.
As Christians, it's like manure. It stinks when it's all piled together. We got to spread out.
That's a heck of an analogy. That might be the best analogy that I have ever heard on here.
But I've always heard that.
Spread it out.
Clean that up a little bit. 1 Peter says, cast all your cares on him. Mm-hmm. And why? Because he cares for you.
What's FIC?
Freedom in Christ. It's a class. It's a class that's offered. Scott Faulkner was the one that called and said, hey, shout out, Scott, if you're listening. And it's a counseling slash what you have in Christ. So it's a discipleship training class.
Have you attended?
Mm-hmm. But one of the first one, I met the folks and saw what they taught and read the material. It's good material. It's kind of like a Celebrate Recovery.
You said, by the way, welcome back to the 167 before I forget.
Hey, we're ready to start.
Yeah, we're about 15 minutes in already.
We've had four edits.
Yeah, there we go.
Don't let them hear this.
We've already had Kenny say twice, you're not recording, are you? You're not recording, are you? Yeah, we are. That's something I have to edit.
Man.
But you said freedom in Christ. That reminded me. I was literally 30 seconds before you said it, sitting there thinking, I had a story I was going to try to remember to tell, and I can't remember what it was, and I'm racking my brain for it, and then you said freedom in Christ, and it reminded me. Christian, I sent you the text a while back of Christian saying his favorite song was Crucified in Christ,
the
song we talked about on the show.
I love that song.
Love that song. Well, he's got a new favorite one now, and, you know, when he likes to sing his songs, and I'll hear him running around the house singing them, and that's cool. I'm all, you know, all for that. And I presume, I don't know for sure if he does, but I can imagine him coming around week here and things like that and singing these songs. Well, he's moved on to a new favorite song, and he told me Sunday after church, he kind of poked me during church and said, Ben just said it. You said church parking lot because we're having something in the church parking lot, and he said church parking lot. And I thought, I don't know if that's one I want you singing running around a church. And then he said, one of them asked me, either him or Gabe One asked me, who sent you that song and who sent you? I said, well, Nin sent me this song.
Right.
And then when I got that, I said, actually, Ben's the one that sent me church parking lot.
I listened to the rest of the songs from the artist, and I was like,
Yeah. But I said, so if it goes south and he gets in trouble for talking about that's where he had his first sip of whiskey and smoking out of his best friend's truck, the preacher's the one that told me about that song. It ain't my fault. But it is a good song. I do love that song. Before I forget, and I put this in a reminder on my phone, I put another reminder in my book. If you're not watching, I have come with a whole load of stuff today. I've got all my notebooks. But I didn't want to forget this. They were talking to us Sunday morning. Rachel, shout out, was asking about putting a plug in for the Baptist Boys, the children's home up there. I was going to see if we could talk about that a little bit and their need. I know that's one that, from what I understand, they've not gotten a whole lot of support.
They haven't, but they have.
But they hadn't to start with, and hopefully it's picked up.
I know they are about 4 miles from the Swannanoa distribution, so they've got supplies. Folks that are starting to get up there, they've got power. So a lot of it went from Rachel putting that Facebook post out there, really kind of got a whole lot of things moving. And so last time I talked with Rachel this morning, she was sending me, and we actually got it on our Facebook page at church. There's if you want to help, there's ways. Mm-hmm. And it's not so much needing boots on the ground, and they've got some supplies, so they've come a long way in 2 days.
Okay.
And I think that's the thing too, and I think the main thing was, okay, who's in charge of that? That's always the question. Who's the main point of contact up there? And we've got that figured out as far as I know Samaritan's Purse and Baptist on Mission are mm-hmm. sending folks around there, and it's right close to Swannanoa, which Swannanoa was hit very, very, very hard, and that's where we've been sending a lot of our trucks. Mm-hmm. And so it's getting better. Yeah. So I'm tickled to death because it all started with really that Facebook post.
Yeah. Well, it's something that I have thought a lot about, and I want to encourage people, listeners, wherever. It's real easy in the immediate aftermath of stuff like that to, you know, dig in and try to help out if you can. And it's also really easy to forget about it a couple of weeks later when life moves on. And I even saw something on Facebook about, you know, feeling bad about moving on with our lives and forgetting the people there. My first thought was, well, then don't move on. Like, don't forget about them, you know, because it's something that they're going to be fighting for a real long time.
It's years. It's going to be. And some of them, it's going to be, I don't even know if you rebuild.
Yeah.
It's knock down and try again or whatever. But I know that we'll be sending teams up there for quite a while. And I dare say, and what has often happened in situations like this is 3-4 years from now, there'll be trips like World Changers or Mission Surf. Mm-hmm. They'll be sending teams up there, rebuilding homes and stuff. So I dare say this isn't going to be a 1 and 2 week, 1 month. Yeah. No way, because it's just that much damage and that many people have been dispelled or searching for homes. So, but it has been a blessing to watch. Whether it's Rachel, Regina, everybody, it's just been the response has been great, and we're going to send a team up. Our team's actually going to Burnsville, which is just a little bit, I think, south of that, maybe north. I'm not, but it's right at Asheville.
Okay.
It's where we're going to be heading up and working and doing some work.
Well, I do want to go back to a thing that you were talking about. You know, the people after it gets out of the news media, people are going to just go back to their normal living, everyday life. It's the same way. You see the same thing at a funeral. Everybody, you know, once the funeral's over, the person that's spouse or whatever passed away, they're still dealing with it.
Mm-hmm.
But the,
you're right.
But the crowd's gone. And I, from personal experience, I'm, for as hurricanes, yeah, it takes 2, 3, 4, 5 years to get over something like that.
Yeah, you rebuild and rebuild.
I mean, just because it's out of the news media doesn't mean that everything's solved. That's when the work begins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I know I heard somewhere this week, I don't remember where from or what, but that there were, you know, parts of the country that weren't even aware of what was going on over here. And you know, I don't know if that's true or not, or what, that might have been somebody's Facebook post. I don't know. But it's definitely something that is, I think, a lot of people forget about pretty quickly. I mean, you feel terrible about it for like a weekend or a week, maybe 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And then something else happens that's...
But the war is still going on.
Right.
And it's... To our advantage, maybe, for remembering is it's in our own state.
It is, yeah.
For us, it was Katrina, and we still sent folks down there a year afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still one of those things that it's easy to forget because it does go out of the news cycle. Mm-hmm. But when it's in your own state, you'll tend to remember it a little more.
Which is a little convicting, I think, to me when I think about it, because I felt that way in that this has really hit closer to home than most of these do, and it is because it's closer to home, literally. Then it makes me feel I've done the exact same thing that I'm talking about with other things in the past. You hear about it and you feel terrible for a week or two, and then you forget about it because it's easier to forget when it's not in your own backyard. And you know, down here, 2.5-3 hours from the mountains, it's not even literally that much in our backyard. We personally are not affected by it for the most part.
No, we may know people to get up there.
Right.
And also, you know, hurricanes, we see that every year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some place is going to get hit with a hurricane. Not in North Carolina, but most of the time, a northeastern or something, that's going to happen. We hear that every year. But flooding the mountains, no, that's not something you hear very often.
Yeah.
Flooding from a hurricane in the mountains, double.
Or something, or Fran going through Raleigh and tearing up everything, Raleigh. You expect that around the coast.
Yeah.
And that happens every time. Or Floyd flooding down east, Greenville.
Man, it don't take much for flooding down east.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
I think the Tar River and all the rivers you got there.
Yeah. Wilson, that area.
Yep.
That don't happen very often.
Me and the kids were talking Sunday night, and I don't know. Well, we'll get to that part of that conversation later, but we were somehow started talking about, they were asking, how's God going to destroy the earth in the end? And they were asking me some of these questions that are, I know the general answers to, but I don't know the specifics, the level of, you know, that they were asking. I can't remember exactly what they asked me, but I said, well, you know, the Bible says that we'll have sort of some, call them warning signs towards the end. I said, and I mean, I ain't trying to scare y'all or nothing, but I mean, We're seeing a bunch of them. So, well, like, what are you talking about?
Is this going right now? Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't trying to tell them. I told you the other day, I've got to the point now where I don't even, you know, pay my utility bill at the last minute. What's the point? And, well, yeah, I mean, I see something 2 weeks out. It's like, eh, he'll be back by then with his recording right now.
Don't worry.
I worry about things very last minute. But I was telling them, I said, yeah, there's a lot of them now. They said, well, like what? And I said, well, Bible says diseases, natural disasters, wars, and famines.
I said, you hear about wars.
Yeah. I said, so let's think. Diseases. Remember COVID? And they said, yeah. I said, okay. Natural disasters. And they said, are we having a lot of natural disasters? I said, Gabe, we just had a flood in the mountains.
Two-week period.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you do, and then you hear, and you know, Jerusalem, things that are happening there. Yeah. I mean, it's there are some signs at the same time. There have been signs for a long time. Yeah. And I think that's what Jesus was saying there is, yeah, you're going to hear about these things.
Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily mean but they could. It's those. I believe the to me. I believe the fat lady's tuning up.
I do too. On some things. I mean, we've had earthquakes.
Yeah.
Maybe they might be. And we don't really know because we don't have the data. You know, since Jesus or before that they're more.
Yeah.
And that's probably true. I don't doubt that. We've had floods. There's probably more floods. We've had diseases. There's probably more diseases. But what I've seen that we haven't seen before is a shift of moral values from right here. Every generation, it keeps getting worse and worse.
Yeah.
And then, and the other thing is knowledge is spread out.
Yes.
And another.
And that's a
that's just increasing so much in that we can see the battlefield, or we can see what's going on in China from satellites or from the news media or phones. So. That, to me, I guess that's part of technology, because what scripture says that technology will increase? It doesn't say technology.
Well, no, it talks about wisdom and information and knowledge.
So that, to me, that has really increased.
Oh, man, well, think about it. I mean, my grandfather, you know, tobacco farmer, I know that I probably take more information in a day's time than he probably took in a month's time.
Well, probably no doubt.
When you begin to consider everything we have access to, whether it's a phone and Twitter and Facebook and news, a 24-hour news cycle. I mean, they just didn't have that. So, yeah, there's going to be an increase in – and look, it changes every day. I mean, hey, man, I'm serious when I say this. That rocket ship landing on that – back on that landing pad, I'm telling you, that's a big deal. That's going to be a lot.
Is this SpaceX?
Yeah, SpaceX.
Gotcha.
But I will say, as far as, you know, life out there on another planet, I don't believe there is because
– Well, I'm not even
– If there was, we'd be done sent money to them.
I don't know why we have nine planets or eight planets. I don't know if Pluto is considered as a planet or not.
No, it's not. It got removed from the list. Yeah, I think that's messed up.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know what qualified to be one at one time and why it's not qualified.
What changed was they thought it was the only one. At some point or another, they found like 50 or something more planets like it. As the telescopes got better and they could see further out, they found a lot of other things its size or bigger.
What do you call it? Mini planet?
Dwarf planets, that's what they call it. Yeah. I don't know if that's still politically correct. It may not be.
But. Shout out to
that. I don't know what the purpose of the creation to have other planets. Maybe it might have been part of the fall or if something got messed up. I don't know. I mean, the orbit of the sun. So I just don't know why we have planets out there.
I guess. Look at.
I think it's just God's handiwork, man.
And it might be more planets traveling around other stars. I don't know.
And you got stars galore. I mean, I think it screams that, man, our God's big and mighty.
I heard a stat the other day that, and I have absolutely no idea what they're talking about in terms of the actual practice of it, but basically you can look at how sensitive the universe is to certain variables. I know one in particular is like the force of gravity. If the force of gravity were like a fraction stronger, it would all crumble on itself. And if it were a fraction weaker, everything would spin apart. And basically, like, the razor thin margin of error that we had for that was like 1 to the 37th power, something crazy. And the way they explained it was to have our universe perfectly balanced in this way, just in that one way, not in all of them. Would be like stacking dimes across all of North America all the way to the moon and picking one out of it.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sitting there thinking, I mean, I've heard you say silver dollars in Texas, that's 3 feet high is for Jesus.
That's just one in 300 prophecies, and he fulfilled over let's see, 700?
Yeah.
But it's true. When you look at the universe in general, the fact that it supports life tells you, okay, number one, there's an intelligent design. Mm-hmm. So that means there's an intelligent designer. And then if we were just a few miles this way from the sun, we'd freeze. If we were a little bit more, we'd be burnt up. I mean, it's just unbelievable how it is so. That's why to somehow believe it, just a lightning bolt struck some mortar, and now we've got what we've got. I just, man, that takes a lot more faith than
it does than
God said, "Let there be," and there was.
And you talk about gravity. How that is part of gravity, and if you're 2 miles away from the sun, we'd burn up or whatever. That just proves that what Romans says, that nature is, you can see God through nature.
Yeah.
Well, there's
we're
even
just ignoring
Psalm 91.
Well, there's even some crazy ones that you don't think. I mean, I had, for a little while there, I got on a little kick where YouTube started putting these things in front of me. What if this happened? What if that happened? If the moon disappeared.
Mm. Oh yeah, we'd all be
done.
Be swimming.
We don't know, or we don't think about, or necessarily
you
know.
You're flooding now.
Yeah, exactly.
There wouldn't be high tide.
True. It wouldn't be low tide either.
Right. We'd be Atlantis.
Yeah, exactly. But there's, and the interesting thing about the math of it, when you really, if you do want to go geek out on some math, is that you can take the odds of gravity being exactly what it is. Take the odds of us being exactly where we are in relation to the sun. Take the odds of the moon being here and all these other things. And then you multiply each of these times themselves, and then you add it to the likelihood of the way our brains and our bodies and everything operates. Yeah, I mean, you get to a point where it's just the number for the percentage chance of it being random is so infinite, we can't even really calculate it, I don't think. Right. I mean, it just becomes a point where it's like, put it this way, if all of these things happening to be coincidence is your proof that God isn't real, if that's the take you're trying to take on this, then you're running into, with each of these coincidences, so to speak, your odds are getting exponentially worse. And you're about to a one in infinity chance at this point.
And you're right about creation just speaks for itself. And
does.
David said in Psalms, a man's a fool that says there's no God.
Mm-hmm.
And nature really points to everything that there is a divine being that has created the heavens and earth. And it wasn't by chance.
Well, and it even gets down to a point that for those who have a relationship, you start to see it manifested in your own life as well, and things that there's no way this could have happened without God.
That's right.
Something as simple as, man, I'm trying to hold my... I've got two things I want to talk about today, and... all these little things that I keep thinking of are tied to those in some way. But prayer, the Sermon Sunday was incredibly convicting to me in a lot of ways, and it kind of piggybacking off of some of our conversations and some of the things that you've talked about in other sermons. But it's been building, I guess, a little bit in this: how do I pray,
and
really evaluating kind of how I pray, and. I guess it's easier to probably just go right on into this conversation now so I can tell my story eventually. But I've started to notice my prayers getting more vain and repetitious, so to speak. I'm saying the same things over and over, and I don't mean for them to, and that was never an issue before.
And it might be that you're actually, I hate to say this, you're actually listening for it.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Yeah, because it was always probably repetitious before. I just was saying the wrong things, and then I started praying a little.
You started noticing.
Right. And I start, as my prayer life started to improve, I would say, it was different than when it was bad.
Right.
But then it started.
What's y'all saying? Are you listening to yourself right now?
Yeah, exactly.
Sometimes it doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
Because I've caught myself many times and had to say, whoa, put the brakes on. And, Lord, I'm sorry, I'm falling into that trap again. That's just the same words, and I don't know the hearts behind it.
So two things that I've noticed, and one of them sounds... I told this to my mama, and I could tell she's about to lie into me. So as soon as I say this, let me finish it. You know what I mean? But I started to notice at one point that I don't pray for forgiveness nearly as often as I used to. And it's not because I think I'm perfect and I don't sin. It's because of that grace, that constant feeling of grace that I don't feel like I have to rush off and make sure I go through my checklist at the end of the day of trying to remember every single one, because if I forget one and I die in my sleep, I'm a goner, that kind of thing. Like, as I feel more of that love, from God.
Right.
I remember that grace, and I notice more sin in my life, mm-hmm. but I don't feel as much anger from him as I did. I felt more before, like I always felt like every time I messed up even a little bit, he was super, super mad at me, and I had, you know, I had to hurry up and get my...
You're starting to understand grace
right. Now, at the same time, I probably am... Do I sit down at the end of the night and go through all 57 that I can think of? No, but I do... When I do them, I think of them and apologize for them quicker throughout the day. I probably, as opposed to 20 minutes at night for forgiveness, I just say them, you know, 20 times throughout the day as I check them off. But... spending less time on forgiveness as I used to. And then the second thing I've noticed is that I spend almost no time praying for things that I want, things that I need. And there was to an extent of that, that was, I thought, a good thing. But then I've started noticing things like Heather asked me the other day, she texted me the other morning and said, pray for Gabe's test today. And boy, needs help on some of his subjects. And I'm laying there, it's like,
I understand.
Man, I don't think God wants me praying for my son to have a good grade. And it almost becomes a weird backhanded lazy to say, I'm just going to pray for other people's needs. And with all the things that I see in the world, the people that need help, Gabe's math tests don't seem that important. I need to pray for something more important. But then the flip side of it, and you talked about it a little bit on Sunday, and it's also from that book. Gosh, why can't I think of the name of it now? Transforming Grace. When we don't do those things, it's like it almost becomes legalistic in a way of thinking that we have to earn God's blessings, and we have to, you know, and forgetting that He wants to give us blessings and forgetting these things. So my story was there was something I've been trying to remember that a little bit more this week. If it's okay to still ask for your needs and, you know, for your daily bread and things like that, don't be selfish about them and obsessing only about yourself. But there was one that I just, you know, or two actually back to back where I was just like, all right, God, I'm gonna ask for this. I know it's not life or death, and I know it's not something that is gonna make or break the world. But it would be cool if you know, while you're handing, and 5 minutes later, it's answered. You know, it's almost like his little sense of humor from God again. Like, see, just ask. I mean, like, I don't mind giving you things you want. You can ask for that too. You can go too far of only praying for your wants and needs, which is probably what most of my prayer life was for a long time. Forgiveness of sins falling under the needs category, right? And then at the same time, you can become so fixated on, no, I'm not going to do any of that because that's going to make God mad. He doesn't want me praying for myself, even my own. Right. I mean, yes, my forgiveness is one that is covered and I should do that. But, you know, I know I'm covered under grace. I need to be praying for other people's salvation. All this. Right. And you get to a point where you forget that He's a loving Father that wants to take care of you too, you know.
That's right. I saw Kenny writing. I can't wait.
Okay, well, I had actually a question about confession.
All right, well, then let me just...
Yeah, that's what...
All right.
I didn't know we did confession on the show.
No, yeah.
Or maybe that's just, all the show is confession.
No, I think it goes back to a couple of things that... there was a lot there, and I wrote down three different things. One is, I mentioned Sunday. One of my favorite sayings is, if you stay ready, you don't have to get ready.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that's part of your confession life as well is, look, I want to keep a short sin list. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I'm convicted, I want to go right then.
Yep.
Because, Lord, I don't want to be any barrier between the Father and I. I think number two is, and you said it, Jesus tells us, ask for the daily bread. Mm-hmm. And I think there is nothing wrong with that because I think it's a reminder. It's humbling because, wait a minute, I'm a breadwinner. No, you're a breadwinner because the Lord gave you that job and the Lord gave you the ability to do it and the Lord has done all that. So he's providing and he wants to provide for his children. Just like, look, I don't mind providing for my children. I love it.
Yeah.
Because, hey, they, as long as, I hate to say it, as long as they're grateful for it, because that was the one thing I struggled with as a father was I'm doing all these things and then it becomes something of, and that used to be the thing that my kids knew better than to say, well, we don't have, you know, a new such and such like there's somebody else. Well, wait a minute. What you got is good, and I'm getting you to the game, even if it is a 2009 Kia minivan.
Right.
And the air works, you're good.
Yeah.
And I think the other thing, and this is the one that I always want to stress, is First Peter says, cast all your cares mm-hmm. on Him.
Mm-hmm.
And why? Because He cares for you. And I think that to me says, no, when you've got a care or you got a need, yeah. Now, I think the old saying, and we've always said this, you know, there's a big difference between needs and wants. All right. You don't need everything you want. And here's another thing. You don't want everything you need.
That's right.
And I'll give you an example. I didn't want all those whippings I got when I was little, but I sure needed them.
Yeah.
And they sure made a big difference in my life later. So, yeah, we don't want everything. But at the same time, God is one that provides all our needs, so that's good. You know, there's a store that's south of here called Womble's, and one of their taglines is, if we don't have it, you don't need it. I like that because I'm reminded, if I don't have it right now, maybe I don't need it.
Yeah.
At the same time, I want to request those daily needs because He wants to care for us.
I like how you talked about, you know, providing for your family, your children. They're not asking you. Well, they might say, well, what
for breakfast? I was going to say, obviously you want around at 5:30 or 6 o'clock.
Yeah, I mean, but they expect it.
Yeah.
Because you are...
But don't take it for granted.
Right. Yeah. And I think a lot of times instead of asking for things, and I'm not saying that not ask for things, but we should be more thankful for what we do have. Well, and I think that what he just said kind of brings it together.
We're all riding like crazy today.
I don't want to forget that point. You know, when I was growing up, I didn't ask for meals. I expected it.
Yeah.
And I was thankful for it.
Yeah.
But I didn't say, but I mean, I did too. Well, I did go in there. What's for dinner? What are we having for dinner?
Guaranteed.
But I knew it was going to be cooked. I knew we were going to have it. But I was asking just out of curiosity. Are we having pork chops tonight?
Yeah.
You know, and so, but I never had to pray or ask my father, are we having dinner tonight?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. He's already promised that we're going to have. Yeah. You know, Jesus, I have to go back to Matthew 6. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things are going to be added unto you. Clothing, whatever. You know, and be thankful for it. Paul says, with everything by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving.
That's right.
And so I think being thankful is part of a prayer in life.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you agree with that?
Well, I mean, that's what Paul says in Thessalonians. He says, and give thanks in all things.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily, maybe not for all things, but in all things. So I can be thankful even in tragedies, but I can also be thankful for every meal that gets set down in front of me.
Yeah.
And I think oftentimes we do that. We kind of miss the blessings sometimes. Don't you think?
Oh, yeah. We all... Human nature cannot be satisfied. This country, you see, we live so far above any other country. Mm-hmm. We're still not satisfied because I want what you
have. We have the worst depression
he has
too.
Because he's got something I don't want.
Yeah.
He's got a nice red truck.
I want that Kia Mini van.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Neither one of y'all have that kind of swag. Y'all ain't cool enough.
But I don't think being thankful in prayer... I think they have to go together.
Yeah.
Sure. 100%. Well, I think so. I think they are
it's hand
in
glove,
left hand and right hand. And I think, and I just want to just kind of bring that all home. I'll never forget.
Nicole, put it under the umbrella.
Yeah. Nicole came home from school when she was at Harnett Central. And they had some kind of, I don't know if he's a motivational speaker, but they had a speaker come in. And he had everybody stand up. And I don't know if I've used this here
I
like to share the story because it just goes so far. He had everybody stand up. And he started with some of the most basic things. If you had a warm breakfast this morning that your parents fixed, keep standing. Everybody else sit down. And then he got into, did you have a warm meal last night? Then he got into, if you are still in a home where mom and dad are still married, keep standing. If you're in a home where you don't hear fighting all the time, if you're in a home where there is no drugs or drug use, you know, keep standing. Or not, you know, the good things, keep standing.
Yeah.
And, you know, Nicole was towards the front. She said, everybody's going to be standing when I turn around. And there was only about 15 to 25 folks in that whole school that were standing up.
How many is in that school?
Nicole had...
That's nice.
I mean, give you Harnett Central, that's a 3A high school.
Okay.
So I believe,
2000?
Give or take. I don't know if I'd go to 2,000, but I know.
1,500?
I think there were about 300 in a graduating class.
Oh, okay.
So let's just say 1,200. Let's say 1,500 to be good.
And how
just pretend.
How did that make you feel?
No, it made me feel thankful because everything he named, I was blessed with too. And yeah. I don't know that I totally understood that. And yeah. and for Nicole, I think it hit her that, oh, wow. You know, here I was thinking, you know, whatever. I know she didn't think her dad's a square or nothing, but, you know, he might be lame at times. But he, you know, now she's coming back understanding that, well, maybe I don't have as bad as I thought. And maybe I should be a little more grateful.
Maybe she realized that you're providing for her and she just took it for granted.
Or just that things that we think are normal everyday life. Yeah. And now she realizes. And that's not normal every day in this country sometimes.
And how good she had it?
Yep. And that lasted for about 2 weeks. Then she started fussing about it.
Oh, yeah.
Which is life. That's human.
That's human nature.
That's the American in her.
Yep. Yeah. I know after I preach, yeah. It's funny, after I preach a Thanksgiving message, oh, man, I'm going to be so, and people are.
Oh, yeah.
But then over time,
yeah,
it creeps the ingratitude or the everyday life creeps
to
in.
To the January 1st.
Yeah. Oh, this year I'm going to live right.
Go there February the 1st, see how many
days. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Well, it's that, and then just like, I mean, we keep, at, man, I'm telling you, I cannot tell you, the Lord just keeps, for some reason, hounding that verse on me, Luke 17:28, of when, in the last days, when it was Lot and it was Noah, mm-hmm. in those days, he doesn't list out all those gross sins. He lists out decent things. They were going to the market. They were doing this. They were doing that. And one of my premises was the enemy knows getting you to do gross stuff, mm-hmm. most of the time ain't going to be what distracts you and takes you away. It's good stuff. It's good things. It's life. Mm-hmm. It's ball. It's children. And we let those things take us away from the focus. And he said, and basically they were going about their life, but without God in it.
One thing that I think about a lot, and I know we'll wrap it up here soon. In fact, this what I'm about to say might end up being our new intro, I think. But we talk a lot in church. We talk a lot on the show. People talk about it a lot in society, whatever. There's a hot and cold, black and white, good and evil, whatever. And sometimes we act like, well, there's a time in your life where you were dark and evil and cold, and then there's a time in your life where you come to Christ, and now from this point forward, you're a warm and whatever the opposites of those are.
Right.
Warm, light, and things are good. Okay, well, then there's also the, okay, I came to Christ, but then I fell away,
yeah. mm-hmm.
and then they come back later, or they don't come back later.
You might not be as red hot.
Yeah.
And there might be times that you cooled off. And again, Hebrews 2 that we talked about, that you drift away.
Yeah, you drift away. And so in church, I think we talk a lot about the longer term cycles of that, of okay, once I wasn't, now I am, or yeah. I was and then I wasn't and then I came back, or I didn't come back, or whatever.
And there should be something.
And there should definitely be, yeah.
Even if it's a younger Christian,
yeah,
should be something.
But I think for the thing that I always seem to find in your sermons or in anything that I read is taking that one step further to the fact that even, you know, myself, I'm as close to God as I've ever been in my life, and I'm walking with Jesus as close as I ever have in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And every single sermon about the prodigal son or about the widow praying over and over and over and finding, there are times in my life, today, tomorrow, that I will do it right, I will do it wrong. That hot, cold, dark, light, black, white, whatever, it's something that we all go through those cycles, and it's not just years at a time, months at a time, weeks at a time. Right. It's hours at a time.
Yeah.
I can do it right in the morning, do it right. It's so funny to me how many times I leave this show and then go do something that I can't believe I did because I just left the show. How'd I do that?
I mean, no, believe me.
I'm like that too. Well, I have been like that up and down. And I've tried, and I'm trying to be steady going to higher ground.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah,
I've gotten older, that has changed a lot dramatically instead of being up and down, kind of.
Well, the swings will get tighter, I think, and they won't last as long, that's the way it should be. Yeah. It's a self-correcting. It's not self-correcting. He's correcting it as you're closer with him. And I experienced the same thing, and I feel just as lousy about the sneaky sins.
And our little,
I think the conscience, I believe your conscience tells you the big sins are
acceptable
wrong.
Acceptable sins, that's what I'm thinking.
This is what the smaller sins, you need God to help you figure those out. And I'm not classifying them because they're both on the same level with him. But we know, the Ten Commandments, we know stealing is wrong. We were, that's in our heart. We already know that. So when I come to Christ, no, we, I didn't steal. When I, before I, you know, was to candy bars and that kind of thing from my parents, they had a little store, a gas station. Yeah, we know that saying the name of the Lord in vain is wrong. I knew that even before I was a Christian. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we just know certain things that are wrong. That's the conscience that God's given everybody, a conscience. Now, telling a white lie, that don't appear to hurt anybody, but it probably does. We just don't.
Hurts God.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, what about telling a lie not to hurt somebody's feelings?
Well, that way of being trying to be nice.
I'm just no. That's a good question.
No,
that's
I do know people that say that. Yeah, I didn't want to say that was a terrible jam because I've hurt his feelings.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean.
You know, he tells me that that's good jam, but he's probably thinking, well,
no, that's not really good. But I'm thinking, you are oftentimes.
That happens at church all the time, every day. Man, every Sunday it happens.
And you don't want to hurt somebody's feelings.
And how are you doing?
Or have to do a funeral for somebody.
Yeah, and how are you doing today, huh? Yeah. I'm great. No, you're not. Yeah, but you're
I'm real bad to tell the truth, but I'll go to a gas station and be like, how you doing today? Not very good, honestly, but thank you for asking. Wow.
But how many there is more lying in church on Sunday morning than you do, probably, than the congregation does all week long.
Probably. Yeah. I can give you that.
A lot of lying.
Yeah.
So what's the moral of the story? Stop sinning, you rotten, dirty
sinners.
That's
it. That's it.
No. But I think, go back to...
But that's... I don't feel bad about doing that. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But I feel bad if I told a blatant lie.
Right.
But that's a good lie.
But let's go back to kind of the whole, I don't want to say it's been the whole theme of everything, because we kind of got off track a little bit here and there. But
no way. Not on this show.
Matthew 6:33 was referenced. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all the rest will be added unto you. Well, we first seek the king, then seeking the kingdom. But his righteousness has to do with his righteousness in our life. So there's a moral purity. Mm-hmm. And I think what I would encourage each and every person is look, but tasting and seeing that God is good. And once you do that, you come to know who he is through Christ. Man, there should be a difference and a change in what that's seeking his righteousness. Mm-hmm. And so that moral purity there, don't underestimate that and don't disregard that and somehow sweep it away of, but that's not as important. I agree. Saved by grace through faith, but I'm looking too also for that. I'm not looking legalism. I'm looking for real.
Yeah.
And that's where I think the world is dying to see it. And that's what I would encourage our listeners to be about is not just salvation, but sanctification.
Yeah, and well, the world needs something because they can't figure it out.
No,
they can't figure it out. They can't figure it out.
Sometimes I wonder if we're doing a good job of figuring it out. But
well, I think for me,
I do kind of try
maybe we're not living it out.
Be more tolerant but not being at, you know what I'm saying?
I'm well, trying to define tolerant because our audience might think what tolerant means.
When I say tolerant, a sin is a sin is a sin.
Mm-hmm.
Just because someone's gay, that doesn't mean that God doesn't love him.
It doesn't mean we should that we shouldn't either.
Yes.
Or that we should also love them. Mm-hmm. No, or it should mean that.
God loves him just as much as he does me.
And your sin is just as bad, and your sin is just as bad to God as his.
I kind of want to get to the point where you don't need to be doing any type of leadership in the church.
No,
because that's a terrible example. I mean, that might not even be a good example of what I'm saying. But
well, it can be a stumbling
block. I want to be tolerant. I want to be tolerant that God loves him, but I don't want to lower my standard of my morality.
Exactly.
That's what I'm trying to do.
Yep.
Because if you were gay in the church, a gay person in the 70s, 60s, you're going to hell. We don't want anything to do with you.
Yep.
And I don't want to be that way. I want to be as accept them for who they are, but not approve of what they're doing.
Okay, accept them as a person,
but
I'm not really as accepting of what your behavior is. At the same time, I'm not going to treat you like a hooligan.
Yeah, and I've seen Ben do this. I admire that. I mean, I've seen Ben accept people for who they are, knowing what they're doing.
Well, yeah, I can speak firsthand to a lot of that. I mean,
but I know in my own life, except for the grace of God,
that I'm no better than
I him. Would be right where you, where right. anybody is.
Right.
Joke.
I might not be doing those things, but I'll be doing something else that's just as bad. Yeah.
Well, I think for me, a big thing I've had that I've learned, I don't even know how intentional this was. It was just the direction God took me with it, is that seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. For me, seeking him.
Mm-hmm. Seeking the kingdom, seek the king.
Right. Getting to know him better. Mm-hmm. That changed far more of my behaviors and morals and shortened my sin list and did all that than I ever would have from saying, okay, if I shorten my sin list, then I can have a better relationship with God. No, you have a better relationship with God. Yeah, that's right. You get to know him. If I had to be confined, I know I'm not, but if I had to just pick one prayer for my kids that could last, it would be help them to know you better every single day. Yeah. Because if they get, I know that doesn't guarantee anything, but I'm putting my money on if they get to know him and really get to know who he really is, he's going to take care of the rest of that. I don't know how you, I know people can do it, I suppose, but to me, I can't imagine how you could really know him and not. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So...
And I'm just as broken as anybody else.
Absolutely, maybe, and it's
maybe
not
more so. But I can't. You know, they might be broken on something else, but I'm just as bad.
Yep,
just as broken.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
I'm still trying to figure it out myself.
Yeah,
you know, I haven't gotten to that plateau where
I made it.
I'm good.
You arrived, huh?
Yeah, I arrived.
Yeah,
I've left the building.
I did it last week. Wait till you do it, man. That's right.
But I left the building. I'm on the road.
We're on the road. That's great. And we're constantly on the road.
Yeah.
We're moving to higher ground.
And we won't be finished until.
But there's so much in my life that it frustrates me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's not the big things. I mean, to me, it's not the big things. But, I mean, it's just... the accumulation of things, you know. When I identify with Paul, I actually thought Paul was kind of prideful at one time. You know.
Oh, I did too, for sure. Yeah. I'm glad I didn't bring that up on the show.
In all of these revelations, I think he was just trying to, you know, be kind of saying, you know, I'm not really prideful. You know.
Yeah.
But as I'm getting there, and I haven't gotten there, but as I know the Word of God, I see how far short that I really am.
Yeah.
And I used to not understand people, Christian people, that I thought were, you know, do they ever sin? Telling me that they feel worse now. They're more humble now.
Sure.
That they're more sinful now than they ever have been. And I'm trying to figure out that, man, you don't do anything. You know, what are you talking about? As I've gotten moved forward, I'm learning how bad that I really am. I didn't realize how bad I was before when I was saved.
And I think too, going back with what Paul said, I mean, it would be easy to say, yeah, he sounds prideful. But also, that's one of the reasons.
He was truthful, actually.
But that's actually one of the reasons, too, of the thorn in the flesh that he had.
Yes, that was part of it.
God gave him that thorn in the flesh, and he didn't remove it. Mm-hmm. And part of it was learning, now, my grace, you're going to need to learn to depend on me and my grace, because if anybody could have done it, you know, on autopilot, I dare submit it could have been Paul, but he couldn't.
Yeah. No, and he probably was the most prideful person.
Could have been.
Yeah, I mean,
Hebrews.
I could brag a lot.
Born on the eighth day, tribe of Benjamin. Circumcised on the eighth day.
And I'm thinking
scholar of scholars.
These older saints that I've encountered, they can brag a lot.
True.
But what they're saying, they appear to be humble in what they're saying.
Most are.
You know, and it's
a, the ones I meet that aren't, I don't even know if I want to say this, usually they're the preachers. But most
you're
of
one.
I'm fighting against it.
Yeah, I know. I
don't want to be one of those old guys that always wants to brag about, oh, I did this and I did that.
And you have, and I admire you wanting to be humble, but you do have a lot of people saying, man, your sermon was good.
Oh, yeah, you hear it all the time.
You hear it all the time.
Well, and you look and you see, okay, the church.
Thank you, but it's God.
The church is doing well. The church is growing. The church is doing that. And there's a time you want to pat yourself on the back, but you have to remind yourself, no.
Well,
it's just like that person we talked about that's broken. except for the grace of God, go I. Well, except for the grace of God, nothing would be happening. And so you just have to stay humble to say, Lord, just let me be used by you.
Well, I think you get it that the church is growing because everybody's doing what they're supposed to do, be doing. If you had to clean the bathrooms,
right.
If you had to do this, you had to go cut the sound on, monitor sound, you wouldn't be able to do what God has called you to do.
Right.
And that's to preach the gospel in front of people. But you know in your mind that I can do that because they got other people helping me.
Right.
I don't know about you, but for me, some of the best ways that I can get a rise out of God, if you want to call it that way, is to start taking credit for the stuff that was obviously Him. You know what I mean? Like if you were to sit around one Sunday and say, "Man, look at what a great sermon I had," or "Man, look what a great big church I've built," that's the kind of thing that God would tap me on.
That does happen to
you. Sure about that, Chief?
Oh man, preachers are the worst.
Yeah.
And, listen, I'll tell you this: my dentist. And I'm working, I love her to death. She's not a listener, so no shout out to her. But I know she is of Jewish descent.
Mm-hmm.
And I have done my best to share Christ. And the other day she was just talking about how, hey, you know, she mentioned, she said, "You're just one of my favorite patients." And she might say that to all of them, I don't know. She said, "But you know what? Some of the worst patients I have are pastors." And I said, "What are you talking about?" And she began to talk about how they seem to be a lot of very full of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And very much. And I know the job lends itself almost to it, that you have to fight against them. And people are coming to hear you.
And you've got to fight against that all the time.
And so that's one of the reasons that if somebody else gets a chance to speak, y'all get to hear me enough. I mean, really, you do. And it's one of those things that I can see where it lends itself to being puffed up, and you don't want to do that, and you want to be real.
Well, I admire how you handle it, because you know when someone gets saved here, he might get the credit, but he knows everybody has a part in that.
Yeah, this is a strain
cutting the lights on at church. He don't have to do that. He has time to go over it in his sermon and to redefine it and to, you know, make it presentable better, instead of having to worry about cutting the lights on, welcome people, taking up the offering. You know, he's part of us. It's a joint venture.
Yeah. And I love that about the writer of Hebrews again. I love that he's always saying, "We."
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we have done this, or we have experienced this in Christ. And that's the beauty of the church is it's we, not me.
And I think that's something that this is not me trying to pile on to pat you on the back, because I know you get sick of that anyway. But it's cool from my perspective, I suppose, just to share this with you, that it's important that you include yourself in it and that you be humble about it and not get prideful about it, because of the way it filters out through the rest of the church. And it's not been that long ago, really, that I remember saying something on the show about, I started the show out last fall talking a lot about the self-righteousness and Southern Baptists and all this kind of stuff, because stereotypically we really are. And I didn't really know that many people at the church at that time.
Yeah.
As I started to get to know people in the church more, going on Thursday mornings, coming on Wednesday nights, getting to know Kenny, talking to different people, I very, very rarely hear somebody in this church say something that fits that. Occasionally you will. But the funny thing about it is when I hear somebody say it, they almost immediately correct themselves and point out that, I shouldn't, you know. And it's just, we have such an accepting and self-aware church, I think maybe the way I'd put it. I mean, everybody is very quick to point out their own shortcomings and their own flaws.
And part of that is, hey, the Lord had to take us down to take us up.
Yeah.
And oftentimes that happens in our life. Sometimes He's got to take you down to take you up.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time, I dare say all of the time, a lot of times, is sometimes you got to be knocked down to where you are dependent upon Him and only Him.
Yeah.
Sometimes you gotta eat. I hate to say it. Sometimes you gotta eat some dirt to block for somebody to score a touchdown.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes we have to go down to go up sometimes.
And it's nice to come to church.
Yeah.
Because of Ben.
No.
But he's part of it.
But there's a whole. Spirit is there.
It's the spirit.
When the spirit is there, there's freedom. There's liberty. There's love.
Like before. And I'm just saying, this is any church when there's a lot of fighting.
Divisiveness, yep.
You know, we're as Christians, it's like manure. It stinks when it's all piled together. We got to spread out. You know, to be fruitful, we got to spread, you know, the gospel. When we get all together, we start, you know, bickering and fighting, just like.
That's a heck of an analogy. That might be the best analogy that I have ever heard on there.
But I've always heard that.
But all the manure in one pile stinks, but you spread it out.
Let me clean that up a little bit.
When we're all together, we're bickering, fighting about, you know, money or whatever. But when we spread out,
that's what happened to
that. We can win souls.
And I'll put it this way. I'll put it another way without it being that with manure.
Well, yeah, but I mean, but it's good. Manure is good in itself, but you got to spread it out.
Fishermen that don't fish fight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You lived in the Outer Banks. Yeah. You can't fish and you're a fisherman, you're going to get angry. Fishermen that don't fish fight. And churches.
If you're catching a lot of fish.
Since we're fishers of men, if we're not fishing, that people normally churches will be fighting. And they'll be fussing over silly stuff. Yes.
So we need to spread out. We need to spread the gospel.
Yeah. I mean, well, that's what Kenny was doing Sunday. He went to a different class. 1 week, he's spreading back out. He's
left us.
He left us.
Children's church. And
I heard that was exciting.
We can for 2 weeks.
Yeah. That's it. I was going to suggest that you've got enough show to.
We got to a point where I'm just like, let's just extend it. We got two shows.
Yeah.
So we're at almost 2 hours.
And
now.
I bet you can cut it off. I bet you'll
it'll
find
be
out.
Good.
You can
that'll
cut
be
it off
easy
by
cut.
Halfway.
Yeah.
Wow. That's 2 hours.
So probably most likely, I think, a 2 week break from. So you'll be getting a part two, or this will be a part one. I don't know which. But I think this will probably be a two-parter.
Yeah,
two-parter.
For sure.
Yeah.
So next week you're off.
Yeah.
Still take care of Renee.
Yeah.
Shout out.
Yeah, shout out Renee.
Yeah, she's out. Praying for you.
She hopes she will be walking.
No, she will be. They'll get her up.
Well.
Before they let her out of the building tomorrow. Oh,
yeah. Well, she's going to be. No, she's not.
Is tomorrow or Thursday?
She's not coming in tomorrow.
But they'll have her up tomorrow.
Oh, is it surgery tomorrow? I thought it was Thursday. Is it tomorrow?
No, it's Wednesday. He don't know.
I said the right date, but I said the 16th.
I'll text Renee and ask her.
It is tomorrow.
I found out it's tomorrow.
Okay. All right.
But I think when I said the 16th, he thought it was on Thursday the 16th. But I might have said Thursday the 16th.
And that might have been why we got confused.
I think that's what I heard.
But it should be Wednesday the 16th.
Yeah.
I remember thinking it was Thursday.
Church, I said, what's the 16th? And you look at phones, Wednesday. Yeah. And I said, that's what I just told you.
Yeah.
So well, she is having surgery tomorrow, very early in the morning.
Yes, we're going to be.
We'll definitely be praying.
Be leaving about 5:30, and she will start at 9 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, keep us posted.
And she's in.
Not recording this right.
I am.
Yeah.
And please don't make me stop. I'll edit it.
Are you about to say something?
No, not really, but yeah.
I can't wait to find out the truth about this. Can't wait to fact check Kenny.
Yeah, that's what's up. Because I was saying, they're not putting you out.
Yeah.
But this, cut this one out. Because this was told to me.
We're 8 minutes in. I've already got two cuts in it.
That's it.